You're listening to All Things Considered on WMYC. I'm Jamie Floyd. WMYC reporters Matt Katz and Arun Venugopal have spent the week driving from Trump Tower to the White House in preparation for today's inauguration. They stopped in immigrant communities in New Jersey, a Planned Parenthood clinic in the suburbs of Philadelphia, and a Maryland haven for Russian spies and Trump supporters. They join us now from Washington. Hey, guys.
Hey, Jamie.
Hey there, Jamie.
Matt, where did you watch the Trump inauguration speech?
I actually went to my alma mater, George Washington University, which is a short distance from where the actual inaugural was taking place on the Mall. I was here exactly 20 years ago as a freshman and attended Bill Clinton's second inauguration. The mood then, as I remember it, was just festive and things seemed celebratory at George Washington University. Today, D.C. is somewhat empty. The campus is somewhat somber. I hung out with two students who told me that, in fact, many students just left for the weekend rather than experience this historic moment.
So did you watch the speech together?
Yes, with the students. We streamed it from a laptop, which was fitting because I really wanted to talk to them about this new era of political communication. I wrote my thesis here on how the internet was going to change politics. That was back in 2000. And man, things have changed in ways we could never have imagined. Our new president retweets white supremacists. He does interviews with online radio shows that push conspiracy theories. Fake news spreads more than real news and did so in the weeks before the election. The traditional media seems like it will continue to be maligned and sidelined by President Trump.
Matt, these kids were born the year you started college. So they've essentially grown up with the internet and phones and social media. How do they process all of that?
Moments after President Trump was sworn in, Bridget Godfrey, who is 20, she looked at her phone.
CNN notification, Fox notification, another CNN notification, Politico email, New York Times notification, Fox notification. Oh, and I just got another Fox notification.
The floodgate is overwhelming, right? And particularly for these students, political junkies, their journalism minors who are considering jobs in media, it feels like the fire hose of news that we all dealt with during the election and its tumultuous aftermath is just going to continue for 4 years.
I'm glad they're connected, but I'm really curious, Matt, where are they getting their news from?
Yeah, I asked them that. Surprisingly, some traditional sources. They go to thewashingtonpost.com. They watch CNN. They said they like public radio, though maybe they were just flattering me. Still, I was talking to them about how fat and fascinating the Sunday New York Times is, and they weren't even really aware of it. Instead of paper, they're reading these highly curated email newsletters like the one WNYC puts out for things that specifically interest them. So in general, they're sophisticated news consumers getting good journalism just in new ways. And they also recognize that the social media echo chambers, where we only see what our like-minded friends post, is a problem.
So are they optimistic about how the United States will fare as it enters this era that you talked about with them, where conceptions of fact and fake seem to be changing so quickly?
Yes. Here's Karina Halverson. She said objectivity in news is still valued and real facts actually still matter.
I need to say that it does, because if we just give up so easily, like, it won't. But I feel like if you need to have people saying that it does matter and continue to believe it.
It was good to hear optimism. Bridget also told me that though she supported Hillary Clinton, she hopes that things turn out great for America under Trump. And if these women are any indication, college kids are still optimistic, Jamie.
It's really great to hear all of that optimism, Matt, from young people especially, and coming off of such a negative campaign season. Arun, did you get the same sense of optimism from the people you were with today?
Well, not really, Jamie. My initial plan was to find some students or maybe a watch party at Howard University, which, as you know, is one of the country's preeminent historically black colleges. But the campus was actually pretty desolate today. The spring semester is apparently underway, but I hardly saw any students on campus. However, I did find some prospective students, including some high school juniors, 11th graders, who'd come down from Harlem. They all gave me these really friendly black power salutes, but I spoke with their chaperone, Joseph Haynes, who had absolutely no interest in watching the inauguration.
Because I don't feel like it's a legitimate inauguration. I don't feel like the person who will be taking office is a legitimate person to be in that office, and I don't think that he has my interest in mind, or people who look like me or from communities that are disadvantaged or people who are disadvantaged. So why even entertain that concept?
And if you notice there in the background, you can hear the bells chiming, indicating that it's 12 o'clock or noon, which is the precise moment when Donald Trump was assuming power. And the whole time, these young people were listening to their chaperone, Joseph Haynes, pretty closely. And after talking to them, I wandered off campus and found a crowded barbershop that served generations of Howard students. It was a full house in there, and the inauguration was playing on a TV in the background. But there was this older gentleman who calls himself Pop, who was watching. He's sort of a respected elder figure for a lot of the neighborhood regulars who come in. And I'd like to play a clip right now from my interaction with him.
What you want to know?
Well, you're watching the inauguration.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
How you feel?
How I feel? I feel like black folks have got shim. Do you know what shim means? Kicked in the ass. That's how we got down. Mr. Trump already said, black lives don't matter. Did you hear him ever? Did you ever hear him say that? Black lives don't matter?
Just now?
Look at me.
In general.
Look at me. I'm black, and my life matters. Let Mr. Trump know he cannot be a president if he can't be the people's president. And that means everybody. Red, white, pink, blue, brown, gold, black.
And as Pop was speaking, the younger men around him were occasionally chuckling, but they were also nodding in agreement. And I've got to say, Matt and I have been on the road for 4 days now. We've traveled through various states, talked to a lot of different people, but I haven't heard anyone express the anger that we're seeing around America in the way that Pop did. So to answer your question, Jamie, no, I didn't get any sense of optimism from the people I spoke with.
So not much optimism today. And throughout the trip, Arun, how would you describe the mood?
Anger, especially in communities of color. People are really ready to fight. And pretty much at every stop we made along the way, from Paterson, New Jersey, on southward, and ending in Washington Day, it was really striking. The streets were empty.
So the shots on TV made it look like the mall actually had more empty seats than filled ones. And Twitter reported a pretty sparse parade route, despite Donald Trump's predictions of big crowds and turnout. Is that what you saw today?
There was actually no traffic getting into D.C. We pretty much just breezed right through. The streets off the National Mall are almost entirely empty. There are all these National Guard Humvees closing down streets. It feels kind of like a ghost town. The only place where there is any activity is where protesters are gathering to march. So it doesn't feel terribly celebratory once you leave the National Mall. But with regard to the protests and the like, I'm left with the feeling that we're going to see a lot more of this in the weeks and months ahead.
The students today also mentioned to me that Trump's speech felt like we were reliving the Cold War, which is obviously something they only know from movies, but the sense of darkness in his remarks was really evident. Some of the reporting today has noted that there is a long list of words that were never uttered before in an inaugural address until today. Words like bleed, carnage, disrepair and depletion, tombstones, and sad.
Well, on that note, thanks to both of you for your hard work this week. WMYC's Matt Katz and Arun Venugopal at the end of their road trip this week. A very big thank you to producers Joe Capriglione, Rebecca Ibarra, and our technical director, Wayne Schulmeister. Tomorrow, Brian Lehrer will host a live call-in during the March on Washington from noon to 1 p.m. This is WMYC. I'm Jamie Floyd.